Welcome back to Faded Tales, the podcast where we dive deep into the lives and stories and challenges of some of the world's most fascinating yet endangered animals. I'm your host Zoya, and today we are going on another exciting journey, this time into the rainforest of Southeast Asia, to meet one of the world's most intelligent, gentle, and endangered great apes, the orangutan. Orangutans, with their expressive faces and striking red fur, are not only beautiful, but also incredibly insightful creatures. They are often seen as the wise elders of the forest. Did you know that their name literally means person of the forest in Malay? And it's easy to see why. They share almost 97% of our DNA, making them some of our closest relatives in the animal kingdom. In this episode, we'll talk about what makes orangutans so special. We will look into their unique characteristics that set them apart, how they live, and why their numbers are declining. And most importantly, we'll dive into what's being done to help them, as well as the ways you can contribute to their survival. So grab a seat, maybe a notebook, because you're about to become an orangutan expert. All right, let's get started. Let's dive into the wonderful world of the orangutans. When we talk about orangutans, we are talking about one of humanity's closest relatives. These fascinating primates belong to the family of great apes, as I mentioned in the intro. A family that includes gorillas, chimpanzees, and of course, us humans. But unlike many other great apes, orangutans have adapted to a more solitary way of life. This solitary behavior may be seen when you consider how social primates, most primates are, but it actually tells us a lot about their needs and their environment. One of the biggest reasons for the solitary nature is their diet. Orangutans are primarily frugivores, meaning they love fruit, especially the kind that grow high up in the rainforest canopy. They also eat leaves, bark, flowers, and even insects when food is scarce. But the rainforest doesn't always offer an endless supply of food. For one orangutan to find enough food, root, and foliage, they need a pretty large area to roam and forage. If they lived in big groups, food would run out so quickly. So they have adapted to a more solitary lifestyle, moving alone or with their younger young rather than in groups. Now, there are three distinct species of the orangutans that live across the islands of Southeast Asia, specifically in rainforests of Borneo and Sumatra. Each species is slightly different and adapted to its particular environment. First, we have the Borneoan orangutan. Sorry if I mispronounce any of these names. It's reading week as I'm it's midterm time as I'm recording this, so I may have not been able to study up and practice the names. So yeah, first we have the Borneoan orangutan, native to the island of Borneo. Well, these orangutans are typically a bit larger and they have a darker coat than their Sumatran relatives. On the neighboring island of Sumatra, you'll find, you guessed, Sumatran orangutan. I feel like these are the ones that you mostly think of when you see an orangutan, because these orangutans tend to be a bit smaller and they have a lighter, almost golden orange fur. So I feel like that's why, like, in my mind, I feel like this is what first comes to mind when I see it. Finally, there's a smaller region in the northern Sumatra. Scientists have recently identified a third species of orangutan, which is the Tapa Nuli orangutan. I hope I pronounced that right. This was only discovered in 2017, and these are the rarest orangutans, with fewer than 800 left in the wild. This makes them critically endangered. All orangutans, I would say, are critically endangered, but the Tapa Nuli is more so endangered than the other two species because it's very rare and it's only recently discovered. And it's incredible that we think that there's three different species and they're like and just how different they like are from each other. So through though they share many traits, they have evolved to thrive in their specific environments, and it's these differences that make each species unique. Conservationists and scientists are constantly working to understand these distinctions so that each species can be protected according to its own specific needs. Orangutans are tree dwellers, which means that they spend most of their lives in the high up in the rainforest canopy. In fact, they are the largest tree dwellers animals on Earth. And it's an impressive title for like an animal that spends almost all its time swinging gracefully from branch to branch. Their long arms, which stretch up to 2 meters, are perfectly adapted for this life in the trees. They use their powerful arms to swing from tree to tree in a form of movement called brachiation. I hope I pronounced that right. Oh, this is going to be a long day. Brachiation. Watching an orangutan brachiate through the trees is like witnessing a beautifully choreographed dance. But why the trees? Well, the treetops provide orangutans with everything they need, food, shelter, and safety from predators. Down on the ground, they're much more vulnerable. So orangutans have become masters of the forest canopy. Their bodies have adapted in remarkable ways to live high above the ground. Their flexible hips allow them to move in every direction, making it easy to navigate in the dense network of branches. Even their feet are different. They have opposable toes, almost like extra hands, allowing them to grip branches securely as they move. And their arms, they're not just long, but incredibly strong, built to support the entire weight of their bodies as they swing and climb. Despite all its agility and strength, orangutans have actually move quite slowly. They are very deliberate in everything that they do, from how they pick up their food to how they navigate the canopy. This cautious approach likely comes from their need to avoid injury. Imagine if an orangutan were to fall from a great height. An injury could be devastating. Given that they live such a solitary lives, they don't have any groups to rely on if something goes wrong, so cautious is key. Every night, orangutans actually build nests high up in the trees where they sleep. This isn't just a makeshift bed. They actually build incredibly complex nests, using branches as for support and layers of leaves for comfort. Some nests even have a sort of roof made of leaves, providing a bit of cover if it rains. Orangutans have been known to take great care of these nests, arranging the leaves and branches to make sure they are as comfortable as possible. They've often add a second layer of leaves underneath to insulate the nest and keep it from getting too damp. It's a daily ritual that shows how intelligent and resourceful they are. In fact, these nests are so well built that even scientists studying them are often impressed by the level of skill involved. Nest building is actually a learned behavior from young orangutans that they pick up from their mothers. They observing their mothers carefully as they carefully select and arrange each branch and leaf. This isn't just a simple survival instinct. It's a learned skill passed down through generations, much as we humans pass down knowledge. Orangutans are also incredibly intelligent. They have been observed using tools in the wild, which is something we humans thought was once exclusive to us. For example, orangutans have been known to use sticks to extract insects from tree bark or to probe for honey in beehives. They've also been known to use leaves as gloves to handle spiny fruits or thorny branches. And during the raining season, they sometimes even use large leaves as makeshift umbrellas, holding them above their heads to shield them from the downpour. This level of tool use shows just a remarkable degree of foresight and adaptability. But tool use isn't the only sign of their intelligence. Orangutans have a remarkable capacity for memory. They have been known to remember the location of rooting trees within their territory and even the seasonal patterns to these trees. This is essential for their survival, as it allows them to plan their movements and forage efficiently across large areas. Scientists studying orangutan movements have found that they often follow a specific route through the forest to visit these trees when they're in season. It's a mental map of their forest home, one they use year after year. This cognitive ability is critical for their survival, especially given the challenges they face in the environment. Imagine trying to remember which specific tree bear fruit during each season across miles and miles of forest. For orangutans, this isn't just a matter of convenience, it's life or death. Fruit sources can be scarce, so they rely heavily on their memory and knowledge of the forest to find their way, to find what they need. In some regions, researchers have observed orangutans passing on cultural behaviors, similar to human traditions. For example, some populations of orangutans have unique methods for extracting seeds from a particular type of fruit, while other groups use different techniques. These differences aren't due to instinct, but rather the cultural transmissions. Young orangutans observe and imitate their elders, learning specific skills and behaviors that are unique to their particular group. It's fascinating to just glimpse into the social intelligence of these animals. Speaking of social learning, let's talk a little bit about orangutan mothers and their young. Unlike many other animals, orangutan mothers have extremely close bonds with their offspring. A baby orangutan will stay with its mother for up to 8 years, making it one of the longest child-rearing periods in the animal kingdom. During this time, the mother teaches her young everything that they need to know to survive, from how to find food to how to build nests. This bond is not only critical for the survival of the young orangutan, but it is also one of the most touching relationships in the animal world. Watching a mother orangutan care for her child is truly heartwarming. This dependency period also means that orangutans reproduce slowly. A female orangutan will typically only have 3 to 4 offsprings in her lifetime, which is why the population recovery for these animals is such a challenge. If a young orangutan loses its mother, it's incredibly difficult for it to survive on its own. This slow reproductive rate is one of the reasons orangutan populations are so vulnerable to decline. So, what can we learn from these remarkable creatures? Orangutans show us the importance of patience, adaptability, and resilience. They remind us that intelligence isn't just about solving problems, it's also about adapting to the environment, perceiving knowledge, and passing down traditions. In many ways, they are wise elders of the forest, embodying a balance with nature and that what we humans are still striving to achieve. As we continue our journey through the rainforest and learn more about orangutans, let's keep in mind that these are not just animals living in a distant land. They are beings with their own intelligence, culture, and family bonds. They face challenges that threaten their survival, and yet they still continue to live with dignity and adaptability. It's our responsibility to ensure that these people of the forest continue to have a place called home. While orangutans are incredibly resilient, they are up against some challenges that threaten their very existence. In many ways, they're a symbol of what's happening to the rainforest around the world. A species struggling to survive amidst a challenging landscape. The biggest threat and one of that has been devastating to their survival is habitat destruction. Imagine you're in the vast rainforests of Borneo and Sumatra. These rich green, almost otherworldly landscapes that are home to countless of species, including orangutans. Yet these rainforests are being destroyed at an alarming rate. So why are these forests being destroyed? The primary culprit is palm oil plantations. Palm oil is a vegetable oil that is highly versatile and cheap to produce, which has led to its inclusion in thousands of products worldwide. From foods like cookies, chips, to household items like soap and shampoo, In fact, if you were to go to your pantry right now, you'll find dozens and dozens of items containing palm oil. But the cost of this oil is far higher than its price tag. It comes from at an expense from some of the world's most biodiverse habitats, and more specifically, it's the orangutans who are paying the ultimate price. Imagine being an orangutan in this situation. You wake up one morning high up in the treetops where you built your nest. It's quiet. It's still, just like it's been every a day in your life. But then you hear the sounds of chainsaws and bulldozers in the distance. The trees, which once seemed endless, are coming down around you. The lush green forest you called home is shrinking rapidly, leaving fewer places to find food or to build your nest. This is the reality for so many orangutans in Borneo and Sumatra. They are being forced out of their habitats as the rainforests are cleared acre by acre, making way for these massive palm oil plantations. And it's not just that they're losing their homes, they're also being pushed into smaller, more fragmented patches of the forest. When their habitats are broken up this way, orangutans have to travel further to find food and suitable nesting spots. This fragmentation isolates the groups of orangutans, making it harder for them to find mates and reproduce. And when food is scarce, they sometimes forced to wander closer to human settlements and search for something to eat. For a wild animal, this is a dangerous move. Orangutans who venture into farms or villages can be captured, killed, or forced out once again. It's a constant cycle of displacement, and each encounter with humans puts them at risk. But deforestation and habitat loss aren't the only challenges these incredible apes are facing. There, in some areas, orangutans are hunted for bushmeat. Though it's not as widespread as the destruction of their habitat, hunting can have devastating impacts on local populations. When orangutans are hunted, it's often for their meat or sometimes their body parts, which can be sold illegally. For a species that reproduces slowly, each individual loss is a blow to the population. Unlike many animals, female orangutans give birth only once every 6 to 8 years. This means that every orangutan loss represents years of effort and care from a mother, and it leaves a gap in the population and takes a long time to fill. And then there's a heartbreaking reality of the illegal pet trade. Young orangutans, just babies, are being captured and sold as exotic pets. Taking a baby orangutan from the wild is a devastating act, not just for the individual animal, but for the entire population. Thinking about it, these babies are not independent. They need their mothers for food, protection, and learning. To capture a baby orangutan, poachers have to kill the mother first, separating her from her young. It's an act that disrupts the family unit and deeply impacts the population. Imagine the heartbreak of these young animals ripped from the forest and thrust into the life of confinement. The pet trade is brutal. These young orangutans who would naturally cling to their mothers and learn the ways of the forest are instead forced into small cages or confined spaces. Many live in deplorable conditions, deprived of the natural life, proper care, and the social interaction they need. Orangutans are intelligent, sensitive animals, and captivity can be traumatic. Many of the rescued orangutans show signs of distress and depression, and some even exhibit self-destructive behaviors. Their lives, which should have been filled with the richness of the rainforest, become confined to the walls of a cage. Rehabilitation centers are doing their best to care for these animals. Our organizations like the Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation and the Sumatran Orangutan Conservation Program work tirelessly to rescue these animals, rehabilitate them, and if possible, prepare for their reintroduction into the wild. But this process is not easy. It's incredibly complex, costly, and requires a lot of resources. It can take up to years to rehabilitate an orangutan, especially those who have spent a long time in captivity. They need to learn how to forage for food, to build nests, and to navigate the forest safely. All the skills would have come naturally if they had grown up in the wild. Even for those who are not successfully rehabilitated, reintroduction isn't always possible. Some orangutans, particularly those who captured very young or spent a lot of time in captivity, may not be able to adapt in life in the wild at all. They may lack essential survival skills or have health issues that prevent them from thriving outside of human care. For those individuals, sanctuaries provide a safe haven where they can live out the lives with dignity. It's not the same as living in the wild, but for some, it's the best option that they have. The challenges don't stop there. There are numerous logistical and political barriers to effective conservation. The rainforests where orangutans live are often located in remote areas, making it difficult for conservationists to monitor and protect them. Furthermore, the demand for land, whether for palm oil, logging, or agricultural purposes, means that these areas are often subject to legal or illegal encroachment. Even when there are laws in place to protect orangutan habitats, enforcement can be lax and corruption can undermine conservation efforts. In some regions, local communities depend on palm oil and agriculture for their livelihoods, creating a complex situation where conservation efforts can sometimes be at odds with economic needs. It's a difficult balance. Conservationists are working not only to protect orangutans, but also to find solutions that can support local communities. Some organizations are working with local farmers to promote sustainable palm oil productions, which can reduce the pressure on orangutan habitats. Others are developing alternative sources of income, such as ecotourism, which allows communities to benefit financially from preserving the rainforest rather than destroying it. And this is where each of us comes in. We have a role to play in protecting orangutans, even when we're miles away from their habitats. By being mindful of the products we buy, we can support sustainable practices. Many products now carry certification for sustainable palm oil, such as those from the Roundtable of Sustainable Palm Oil, or RSPO. By choosing these products, we can help reduce the demand of palm oil produced at the expense of orangutan habitats. But individual choices aren't just the beginning. We can also raise awareness about the plight of orangutans, sharing the story of others, supporting conservation organizations, or even adopting an orangutan through programs offered by rescue centers can make a real difference. These actions may seem small on their own, but collectively they create a movement that can help protect these incredible animals and the rainforest they call home. It's important to remember that orangutans aren't just creatures living in a distant forest, rainforest. They are beings with their own intelligence, own emotions, and own social bonds. They face incredible hardships through no fault of their own, and yet they continue to survive with resilience and adaptability. When we talk about saving orangutans, we are not just protecting a species. We are preserving a part of our shared natural heritage. Orangutans are one of humanity's closest relatives, and they remind us of the interconnectedness of all life on Earth. The challenges they face are immersive, but with awareness, compassion, and action, we can help turn the tide. I want to go into a bit with I have a long bit of of conservation efforts, as I've told you guys about, which is the Borno or Orangutan Survival Foundation, or the Sumatran a conservation program. Every day, these teams navigate dense forests, contend with complex social political issues, and work with communities to protect orangutans. Let's take a little example for the Borno Foundation. It's an example. Imagine teams heading out at the break of dawn, cutting through thick overgrowth, reaching harsh conditions, all to reach orangutans who need help. For years, BOSF has been rescuing orphaned orangutans, often babies who have been lost by their mothers due to deforestation or the pet trade. Many of the young orangutans arrive at BOSF centers traumatized, malnourished, and in desperate need of care. BOSF provides them with food, shelter, and a safe environment that can be healed. they, where they can begin to heal. Sorry. But it doesn't always work. It doesn't always, like, it's not just that. Like, there's so much work that goes into it. Rescuing orangutans is just the first step. And they have to set up those four schools where the young orphans get a second chance at learning. Picture a classroom in the heart of jungle. Instead of dust or chairs, there's tree branches and vines. Instead of textbooks, these young orangutans are guided by their instincts and the example of their older peers. Here, they learn to climb, swing from branch to branch, forage for food, and build nests, skills they would have been passed down from their mothers in the wild. One of the heartwarming sights at these forest schools is when they finally master climbing and nest building. In the beginning, many struggles, hesitating at the grasp for branches or tumble when they try to balance. But over time, as they gain confidence and strength, they become more at ease, more wild. It's a process that can take years, but it's worth it. And for those who are ready, the next step of the ultimate goal is the reintroduction to the protected areas in the wild where they can live independently and contribute to the population. The Orangutan Outreach, which is another incredible organization, connects people globally to the cause. They have a strong focus on education and awareness, and they have like so many funds that they go into. The organization offers symbolic adoptions where people can contribute financially to the orangutans at the rehabilitation center. These funds go towards food, medical care, and costs associated with it and keeping the rehabilitation center running. Education is another essential part of conservation. Many of these organizations work within local communities to raise awareness about the importance of orangutans to the ecosystem. It's not just about saving a single species, it's about preserving biodiversity, which is has long-term benefits for both people and the planet. They conduct workshops, school programs, community events, and help people understand the irreplaceable role of the orangutans and their habitat to play in maintaining a balanced ecosystem. In doing so, they are building a conservation mindset in the next generation, a generation that may one day be stewards of these forests. Protecting the rainforests of Borneo and Sumatra is, of course, crucial. Many of the conservation groups work closely with governments to establish and maintain protected areas. These areas act as safe zones where orangutan and other wildlife can live undisturbed. But setting up these zones are not so easy. It also often requires navigating complex land rights issues, working with local authorities, and sometimes even negotiation with corporations. Nothing, nevertheless, each piece of land secured is a win. There's like so many I've said before, like palm oil. Like, again, we want to reduce palm oil, guys. Basically, we want to reduce the use. And it's not just individuals' actions. It's not just like, it's companies that are crucial players in the movement too. A growing number of corporations have been committed to sourcing sustainable palm oil or reducing their resilience to palm oil altogether. The shift often comes from public pressure. Consumers, activists, and organizations are holding companies accountable for their environmental impact. Companies like Nestle, for example, have pledged to use sustainable palm oil. This use is a huge step forward considering their influence and their amount of palm oil that they use annually. There's so much I want to go into, but I feel like I'm running out of time, and I'm also tired because it's been a long day, guys. So I'm going to go into a little bit more about, like, I did say before you want to reduce your, I did say before what you guys can do. You can stop your use of unsustainable palm oil, or by choosing products with sustainable palm oil or reducing palm oil consumption. We can lessen the demand of deforestation. You can also adopt. You can also donate money to conservation efforts by symbolically adopting orangutan. The money goes towards the care for it and the conservation efforts. In return, you usually receive updates of the orangutan. So now, let's dive in to the end. We're at the end, and I'm going to end you off with some fun facts. Because I am tired, and it's been a long day, guys. So, fun facts. that about some orangutans that may surprise you. Did you know that orangutans are known to make umbrellas out of leaves? In the rainy forests of Borneo and Sumatra, they actually fold large leaves into cover themselves to keep themselves dry. Imagine seeing orangutans sit up high and carefully holding a leaf in sand. It's kind of like a little comedic. They have a little mini architect in the jungle. Another amazing fact is they're one of the few tool use animals. I've said this in the podcast. I don't know if you guys paid attention, but they're the one of the few tool using animals. They've been observed using sticks to extract termites from trees, or often use large leaves to make makeshift gloves for hand. And in fact, research have documented over 30 different types of tool use that orangutans use. This adaptability to create and use tools is a sign of complex cognitive skills similar to those of chimpanzees and dolphins. Now let's talk about the remarkable stories. One such tale is about an orangutan named Sumatran Sam, I'm not kidding, who's become famous for using sign language to communicate with his caretakers. Sam was an orangutan at the Sumatran Orangutan Conservation Program, and he developed a set of simple hand signs to ask for his favorite foods, such as bananas and grapes. This showed us how advanced these animals are and their ability to learn and communicate. Imagine just orangutan just pointing to a banana and they just get use the sign for more. Sam's success not only amazed his caretakers but also helped bridge the gap between human understanding and orangutan intelligence. But Sam isn't alone showing off his skills. There was a young female orangutan named Kiki who became quite a sensation on social media for her playful antics. Kiki loved to play with her reflection in the pool, splashing around and making funny faces. Her joyful interactions became a favorite among visitors at the rehabilitation center, and her videos went viral. Kiki's story highlights not only the playful nature of orangutans, but also their capacity for joy and social interaction. Watching her reminded everyone of these animals and are more than just survivors. They're vibrant beings with unique personalities. Speaking of personalities, have you heard of the orangutan named Tori? Tori is also known for her impressive vocal range. In her sanctuary, she often imitates sounds of other animals, everything from calls of birds to the growls of nearby wildcats. Her caretakers began to notice that she was not just mimicking sounds, but actually using them in context. For instance, she would mimic the call of a hawk whenever she spotted one overhead, demonstrating not just her unique vocal ability, but also her understanding of her surroundings. Tori's unique talent added an extra layer of connection between her and the people caring for her. And let's not forget how orangutans are sometimes referred to the gardeners of the forest. Why? Because they play a crucial role in seed dispersal. We all know what seed dispersal is, as I've mentioned many times in these podcasts. Actually, it's only been like 2 episodes, but yeah, as they eat fruits and nuts, they help to plant the next generation of trees. An orangutan can consume up to 200 different types of fruits, and they by passing the seeds through their digestive system, they actually aid in forest regeneration. This relationship illustrates the intricate balance of ecosystems and emphasizes why protecting orangutans also means protecting their habitat. Actually, there's actually another story I want to tell you about a young one named Lulu, who was found orphaned after her mother was killed in a palm oil plantation. When she arrived at the center, she was frightened and withdrawn, showing signs of trauma. Caretakers worked tirelessly to help her recover, using gentle cares and lots of patience. Over time, Lulu began to trust her caregivers, and with their help, she explored her surroundings. One day, while she was playing at the forest school, Lulu climbed a tree and let out a joyful hoot, a sign of her newfound confidence. Witnessing her transformation from a scared orphan to a playful and adventurous orangutan brought tears into the eyes of everyone at the center. Here's also another quick fact. There's another quick fact I have for you. All orangutans are excellent swimmers, surprisingly. You might think though the long arms and heavy body will make it difficult, but it's actually buoyant. They're buoyant and they have been seen gliding through water with ease. In fact, some orangutans have been observed to use large leaves to make makeshift paddles to help them swim across the river. This ability is particularly useful in fragmented forests where they often need to navigate through water to reach different areas. As we share these stories and facts, let's remember that each orangutan has its unique journey to their intelligence, to their adaptability, to their playful nature, and their social bonds. Orangutans continue to inspire us all in countless ways. They remind us of the beauty and complexity of their lives in the rainforest and the importance of our role in protecting these magnificent creatures. Now, you guys, it's the end of the episode. Thank you guys for so much for tuning in. I hope you learned a lot about these incredible creature animals and you'll join me in taking the steps to protect them. I want to recommend a new documentary that recently came out in August of this year, I believe, on Netflix. There is The Secret Life of Orangutans, which was narrated by David Attenborough. It's a really good one. I feel like you should check it out. It's very detailed. So don't forget to tune in to the podcast every Thursday live at 1 p.m. For older episodes, check out the Radio Laurier website. Until next time, this is Zoya signing off. Remember to stay curious, stay kind, and keep making a difference. Thank you.